The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Ian, are we on? It's the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, Earthlings. Just exploding into your eardrums like something that explodes extraordinarily loud. The cats weren't exploding, Kingy. They were no good on the weekend, were they?
They were exploding, but what was exploding was not good.
They were sort of, they weren't 10 to 2 on the wheel early, were they? They were hands free early, and then second and third quarter they had a nice tight grip.
Yeah.
And we love a tight grip. And then
the thing
ran off the road in the last quarter, didn't it?
Well, it did. You wouldn't have thought when they were 13 points up early in the last that they'd actually get rolled. You think that, okay, they've just had one of those days where it hasn't gone right, but they've done enough and they'll pick up the 4 points and move on and put that in the rearview mirror. But this is a loss that I think is going to come back and haunt the Cats later in the year, if it's not already haunting them already.
Is it not like that axe in The Shining, is it, that's gone under the hammer?
I haven't seen The Shining.
You've never seen The Shining?
Never seen The Shining.
Here's Johnny.
Oh, I know of that.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the greats. Yeah. Red Rum.
Red Rum.
Murder Backwards.
Wasn't Red Rum a good
wall? Probably, but it was on the wall. He written in blood on the wall. Right. It's one of the great. Jack Nicholson was fantastic.
Anyway, the Cats weren't fantastic.
He was also good in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
He's a very good actor. Few good men.
So was Tom Hawkins on the weekend.
Good. And did you see the memes they've come up with?
No.
So they've actually pulled somebody from one of the awards nights going, and the best, the Academy Awards, must be the Academy Awards. I didn't listen to it, but I've
wasn't
sort of
slap in the face, was it?
No. It's Chris Rock style. The Academy Award for Best Actor goes to, and Tom Hawkins, but they nominate a few people.
I heard someone try to defend it, really. It was a big deal.
Look, he got a nudge. But
very minimal.
But he accentuated the context.
Oh, I love to be accentuated. It's like he was sort of shot from the grassy knoll sort of style, wasn't it? All the players do that every now and then. That's part of the theatre of the game.
Yeah.
We move on. The umpire got sucked in.
And he's not the first umpire to be sucked in by that. It might be the last.
No.
This
High Hawthorne. Do you hate the way they say that? That real school teacher sort of High Geelong.
No one is going anywhere.
No, well, I'm in charge.
So, yes, got to get back on the horse, but there might be a few of the cavalry that won't be going to Hobart. Jack Henry, they still don't know exactly what the issue is with the foot. So it was the same foot.
It doesn't sound good.
Well, it was the same foot that he had the pre-season surgery on, and it got stood on. So they're waiting for results of scans. Paddy Dangerfield, they say he got a corky early, but he wasn't right coming into the game. So I'm not sure.
Well, how do you know that?
Because he trained away from the main group for most of the week.
Why are they playing him then?
Well, I was surprised he played.
Maybe
they thought they could get him through off the 10-day break through that, and then wouldn't.
So this is what I understand. They rest the week before, they rest a perfectly fit captain.
But no, he wasn't.
He was injured too, was he?
No, well, no.
He said he was fine.
No, he didn't say he was fine. He said he'd actually been crook.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Crook?
Yeah, he said he'd actually been unwell. He said he'd been unwell. So, and the Cats had alluded to that during the week, that he'd been unwell. So it had actually worked out quite well. Yeah, the skipper's not rapt to be missing games of footy, especially when he might only have, well, now less than 20 left.
What we saw definitively on the weekend, don't play Patrick Dangerfield if he's not right.
No, he gave him nothing.
Put a kid in.
Yeah.
Why Cooper Stevens?
Why didn't Cooper Stevens play? Yep. Why isn't Cooper Stevens playing now?
I'm not desperate for him to play, but don't put a bloke in because he's Patrick Dangerfield, who's clearly, well, I don't know. I don't know whether I'm wrong with him or not, but the way he played, you'd have to suggest that. Although I do tire of, as soon as the star plays a bad game, they must be injured. I think we've seen over the last 18 months.
But he wasn't right. The club have actually come out and said that he copped a corky early.
Yeah, well.
And that limited his influence on the game.
Okay, and that's, well, if that happens during the game, there's nothing you can do about that. But if he's gone in with something.
He didn't look right from the start, but that's.
Yeah.
Only,
well, don't play him then.
I admit that
his form over the last 18 months fluctuates.
He has
a lot more than it used to.
Well, he has to be fit. And last year he wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, and remember last year too, he suspended, then injured.
Yeah.
So he never got a clear run at it last year. So
you reckon he's not playing this
week? Oh,
that'd open the door for the 12, wouldn't it?
I would have thought.
Brad Scholl. Trent West might come back.
Yeah, Trent West did wear number 12.
Yes.
Spiro.
Malakalas. He was actually quite a good player.
He was Spiro.
And his little brother Tony had a run-in with Tony Lockett one day up at the SCG.
It was at Waverley.
I reckon it was the SCG.
No, it was Waverley, and it was when Tony was playing for Sydney, and Plugger was still at St Kilda.
Really?
Yep.
I thought it was when he was playing for Geelong.
No, Tony had gone to Sydney, and it was against St Kilda out at Waverley.
Oh, well, I'll have to bow to your judgment, Kiki, because you're like a walking sort of Encyclopedia Britannica.
Of useless information.
Of just me having the knock on the door and say, would you like to buy some encyclopedias? Now it's, I don't do that anymore. They ring you up and want to buy like a flaming solar panel. I had a call from Iran yesterday.
I had one from Kazakhstan.
Did you?
And it wasn't Borat. I was very disappointed it wasn't Borat. High five.
Roll you. Hold on.
So what Borat. Do we put the poor performance down to, Ben? Is it
Dangerfields or?
No, the team. The Cats.
Well, what do we put it down to?
Hawthorn would just
be. Well, I think they're a sort of a middle of the road team,
and
Tom.
I did say that at the start of the year, and people laughed at me when I said their best case scenario is finishing in an elimination final.
I think that they're
same people who laughed at me when I said Port Adelaide would be the big slider, and they're now 0-5.
Yeah, well, they were. That wasn't a bad game actually, that Carlton game, but. Yeah, no, the Cats are just, I think, right now a pretty mediocre side who, when they don't bring their best, they can lose to anybody. And their best is still good enough to get them into the finals. Are they winning the premiership? I wouldn't be having a dollar on it. Not in a snowflake's chance in hell would I be backing the Cats to win the premiership. But, yeah, I keep saying this, King, they think that they can.
Yep.
So they pick sides to do that.
But when does it get to a point in the season where you've got to be realistic and go,
it's not going to happen, Kingy, until it's actually staring them point blank in the face and it says you mathematically can't play in the finals, which is not going to happen this year.
They'll play finals.
Yeah. So, I mean, Luke Dalhouse, what's happening with Luke Dalhouse?
Well, I don't think he's going to Hobart.
Well, surely not. One kick and no tackles.
Yeah.
It's time's up. Yeah. But what will happen is, once he's out, he's out.
Yeah,
go back to him.
He's the last year of a contract. He doesn't. Does he need to play any more senior footy?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's not the future. And their immediate future is sort of a bit uncertain. It's a middle of the road sort of team. Get Francis Evans in. Get, I don't know who else it is. Get some other people in there, younger players.
Well, let's start building a small forwards with Stengel, Close.
My concern is Stengel, Close, Evans and Myers. You can't have all four of them.
No, you can't.
So, I don't
know. Well, pick three then.
Well, people say Myers should go. I think Myers, he's had an injury interrupted preseason.
Correct.
I think
he was good first up. He had 25 touches against Brisbane. He worked his backside off.
Yeah, and that's what he can do. He has something different that the others can't.
Correct.
He has a massive tank. So he can be a bit of a link between the defence and the forward line because he has a capacity to move up and down the field.
Stengel,
he doesn't have the tank for that.
He's your old-fashioned inside 50.
He's your opportunistic forward.
Yep.
Close has got the tank to do it. So he and Myers.
But does Close eventually play further up the ground? Does Close become a wingman eventually?
I'd like him to be a wingman.
Yeah.
Does Patrick Dangerfield need to play on the wing?
Does he need to
play? When he plays.
Potentially.
He gets in the way up forward. You can't have him up forward.
So do you play him as
a wing? You can't have him alongside Hawkins and Cameron. He gets in the way.
And it would be a good on a wing because what did Geelong lack last week? And I said it during the call that they missed Radaglia in terms of that. Bailout kick where he actually would present an attempt to mark. Geelong didn't have that last week.
Yeah.
So what Radaglia, unless, look, as much as I did say that Geelong probably don't beat Collingwood if Asava plays out the game, seemed to just change the way they played. But what it does, it allows Hawkins and Cameron to play closer to goal with Radaglia in the side because he's the one that presents higher up the ground. Hawkins does, but he has to do it more often when Radaglia is not in the team.
Mm-hmm.
So get Radaglia back into the side, which I think they'll play him in Hobart.
Yeah,
and that gives that he's working up the ground to be that that kick out of defence. He's the first marking option.
Yeah,
because unfortunately, Reece Stanley doesn't provide that as the ruck.
No, what does he provide?
Well, that's going to come up for discussion because Reece Stanley's name, when we've put the call out on Twitter and Big Footy for some thoughts, a lot of it is around Reece Stanley and what
he's... But we've been saying this for 5 years.
Yeah.
And they've done absolutely nothing to address it.
Well, they...
Don't tell me... Please don't say Jonathan Segler was addressing it. What? That would be like... No. No. Please, come on. That's embarrassing. No. They've done... I don't get it.
That's...
Anyway.
Are they just holding ground until Toby Conway comes along?
Oh, good. Well, he's going to be good in about 5 years' time, so 78% of this team won't actually be playing. So that'll be fantastic. Really, stars will align there.
So they missed an opportunity because if they had have won that, they actually would have gone two games clear of eighth place, which is a very nice little buffer
the biggest,
5 rounds in.
Yeah, and I think the biggest disappointing thing was not to be jumped at the start because that can happen. Yeah. Team coming off a bad loss, fired up. I mean, it probably shouldn't happen, but any team can get jumped. And I think you'll find Melbourne this year in a lot of their games will probably be tight till half time. Because sides are having a crack and doing everything right and they're not able to maintain the rage. So getting jumped is nothing new in footy. But then to wrest back control over the ensuing two quarters and then lead a team that is not playing finals this year by two goals at three-quarter time, when you've pretty much controlled the previous two quarters and then lose by two, that was horrendous. Well, That was really, really poor.
And no wonder the skipper was very forthright on K-Rock after the
game. Oh, he was dropping the Millhouse.
Yeah. Twice.
Yes.
We were Millhouse early, and then we were Millhouse again late.
He wasn't mincing any words.
Fair to say that...
I think he's frustrated. He's trudged off. If he's... Okay, I'll say this. If Geelong... If he's their best player, Geelong aren't winning.
No. He doesn't... He shouldn't be at age 30, nearly 34. He's 34 in a month.
I haven't... I mean, let's go through the midfield. Selwood, 30 what, 4?
Yep.
Dangerfield?
31.
Duncan?
32.
Duncan?
Approaching 31, or if not, just gone 31.
Guthrie?
30 this year.
And then you've got no relation Holmes to the great man John.
20.
Yeah, okay, so I don't mind him. He's a work in progress. He's got to finish. He's got to. His kicking's got to get better.
But he's finding the footy.
Yeah, I don't mind him. He does some good things. His kicking has to improve.
Right now, Max Holmes has got about... 75 to 80% of his game right.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, yeah. So keep playing.
And remember, he's only how many games in? What's he? 18 games in? Yeah. 19 games in?
Yeah, no, I like him. He needs to improve. I'm not seeing the weekly improvement you like seeing his kicking. He kicks it all over the place, and he has anyway. That's and I heard an interesting thing from Nathan Buckley commentating about players, and he said that the great players finish. That's what makes them really good players. And right now, Max Holmes is going to be a good player. Unless he fixes his kicking, that's all he will.
Is he potentially, because he does move so swiftly with the ball, he's still learning how to balance
maybe.
Up?
Once the speed of the game maybe slows down for him, I just like, you just like to see him improve. And I don't know that he's improved from year one to year two. So, but yeah, look, he's very young and he does do some good things. So I like he's good size. He's quite physical, so he does do a lot of good things, but the kicking is the preeminent skill in the game. If you are no good at it, you will be just an average player, unfortunately, and he's got to improve in that area. So you've got four blokes there, Selwood, Dangerfield, Duncan and Guthrie, who are all...
30-plus.
None of them are improving.
No, they've reached their peak of their football powers.
And then you've got Parfitt. Holmes.
Yep, Holmes.
Well, Parfitt is becoming a frustration. He's just going. He just went on the weekend. You didn't notice him. He does enough to keep his spot, but he has the odd good game. At the moment, he's not developing as to be a frontline midfielder.
I was quite intrigued by the fact he's only ever played one VFL game.
Yeah. So they've given him plenty of opportunities. Over 100 games in here soon.
Well, he's 100 now. He was 100 last week.
Yeah. And he just goes. Did he play a cracking game? Was it the first week?
Played well against Essendon.
Yeah, probably could have snaffled a couple between us in the pocket. It was a one-way sort of traffic arrangement, that game. He's got the tools and he does things. He tackles well. He's got some skill. He's got good vision. He seems to have everything. He just has games where he's absolutely non-existent.
Yep.
And then you've got Holmes. And the other one they're playing in the midfield is O'Connor. O'Connor's not a midfielder. I just not. He doesn't read the game well enough.
Unless he's running with somebody.
Well, if he runs with someone, fine, but don't expect him to get much of the ball. I think he's so much better as a defender when somebody takes him to the ball. He's got a tank. All the game's in front of him. You're asking him to play a game where he needs to be a really good play reader, and he's not.
What do you make of Jeremy Cameron having gone to centre bounces?
Yeah, well, I find that extraordinary. You've got the key forward going into centre bounces. For what purpose? What does that say about your midfielders? That you're not, you don't want them in there, but you want a bloke who's 196 centimetres. When was the last time you saw Jeremy Cameron explode out of the middle with the ball? Doesn't happen.
No.
I reckon that's a slap in the face to the midfield, that you've got to put your full... Your key forward, your best forward, well, second best forward, one of your best forwards, in the middle. And I know Mark Neild, who doesn't criticise Geelong very often, seems to just go along with whatever they do. He, without criticising them, he basically said, I'm not 100%. Oh, and he basically said, what are they doing?
Yep.
So, I don't know. I just think that the midfield has enormous problems, and it doesn't defend well enough.
And it never has. No, well, it hasn't in the last 7 to 8 years.
No, and they have a skew-if mix. There's no sort of balance between youth and experience. It's either all or nothing.
Yep.
And then they're trying to throw players in there who aren't really equipped. It's not even a work in progress. That's why you'd like to see, I'd like to see like a Holmes come alongside of Stevens and sort of grow together a little bit. Might be some short-term pain with that, but that they then become your frontline midfielders.
Holmes, Stevens, Nevitt.
And that might help Parfitt then develop. So Parfitt, when he's 27...
Well, he becomes a leader then.
Yeah.
Maybe he's still trying to...
Well, that's right. Maybe he's trying to fit in around those big names. Yep. You take them out, he becomes that.
Yep.
And that can sometimes happen. You see it with Ruckman all the time, don't you? When the player asked to be the second banana, they struggle. As soon as that bloke gets injured and they get a crack as the number one Ruckman, they jump up and play really well.
Yep.
So you might be right with that. But I think it's... The problem is they won't take time to do that.
No, it's not. No. Because they still believe that they can win challenge. The flag.
Yeah.
Yep. And yeah, as you said, and as long as they make the top eight, they'll still believe, even if they make have to do it from an elimination final.
Oh, we can win it?
Yep.
Well, the reality is you're not. Realise you're not winning it. So, and I get it's a. You're not going to throw games. It's what are you going to do? Put Dangerfield out. You're not going to do that. They seem to make the. And this has probably been a trap. They make the same players the scapegoats all the time. Right now it's Sean Higgins obviously not getting a game, and I don't know why you would go back to Sean Higgins, to be honest with you.
No, 34.
If Delhouse goes out of the team, don't go back to Luke Delhouse.
No.
You know what he's produced.
Yep.
You know where he is.
Do you know what? Say to him, look, mate, thank you. You'll be done at the end of the year. But go back to the VFL.
And be a leader and develop some kids.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Do you reckon he'd do that?
We'll find out.
Do you reckon he could retire around six?
No, I wouldn't have thought. Don't think so.
No.
Not when you're on a four-year deal.
See, these are the really hard decisions, and this is where my point was of trading Cam Guthrie. Geelong missed an opportunity to trade Cam Guthrie and get something
But was anybody chasing Cam Guthrie?
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe not. Do you know what?
Who's to say that wasn't profit up? That Geelong hasn't gone to seven other clubs and said, look,
but then they signed him for 3 years, didn't they?
He's on a 3-year deal, yep.
Surely not then.
But
if Geelong were the only club who interested in him, there's no way known you signed him.
But if somebody, nobody's obviously come to them and gone, or Geelong have gone and said, well, no, he's not touchable. So here's our, so they'll have a list of untouchables.
Well, surely he's not on that.
Well, he was your reigning best and fairest.
Yeah, but that's where you make hard calls, I suppose. I don't know.
How does it go down?
But they're not going to do that because they think they can still win.
Yeah, and how does it go down with the rank and file when you turn around and say, oh, by the way, we're letting our best and fairest from 12 months prior go? Don't know if that's a great look.
Oh, footy's changed, though. The landscape of footy's changed.
But who else has done that? That a best and fairest has been moved?
Look at Mitchell, Lewis.
But they hadn't won best and fairest in the...
They won 87 premierships.
Yeah, I know, they hadn't been the club's best player.
Yeah, I don't know who cares about that. I mean, what you got to hang on to as players because they've done something in the past?
Well, you don't have to, but
no. You've got to be forward thinking. Don't look back and say, "Oh, this guy won our best and fairest 2 years ago. We can't possibly let him go." And I like Cam Guthrie. He's a good guy. I'm just saying that when you're in Geelong's position. You've got to have a bit of forward thinking and where it's going to go and how it's going to look. And right now, they're looking only at this year. They won't say that, but, I mean, they're playing DeConning and they're playing Holmes and they've brought in Stengel. So they are playing a few kids. But a lot of their decisions around the list are based on short term because they think they can still
Well, and are they doing a disservice to Selwood, Hawkins, who are at the back end of their career by not trying to win them?
I think they've had a go at it, though. They've had a long, long
go. Do you give them one more crack?
Well, and that's why they've been saying that for about 5 years.
I know, but their careers weren't coming to an end. This is now it. Yeah. I suspect Geelong fans, this is reality. Joel Selwood's probably got less than 20 games of footy left.
Yeah, potentially.
You know, Hawkins, I think, goes on.
Well, but, so he should.
Yeah, but...
He's playing as well as he was now 10 years ago.
Yeah, but Joel Selwood, is he going... Is he going to...
Yeah, that'd be a big call, and I think it would depend on a lot of things. And I think if Joel's done too much... Not too much, but he's done enough to maybe say... If the club's going in a different direction, if their record at the end of the year or however they finishes up...
He'd put his hand up and go.
I don't think he wants to be involved in a rebuild. He wants to...
And I've got a sneaking suspicion too that he loves the captain. He does enjoy being captain. I don't think he's captain next year. Does he play on
without captain? So Tom Stewart would be captain?
I would have thought.
Have to be.
Yeah, well, he's vice captain.
100%.
Yeah.
But he's nearly 30.
He's 28.
Is he?
Yep.
Yeah, but he's nearly 30. Yeah. I reckon he's 29 soon.
It'll be this year sometime. Yeah, but that's Cameron Ling didn't become captain until.
No, I'm not saying that he's not too old to be captain. I'm saying that he's not around for 6 years.
No, but Cameron Ling wasn't either.
No, but it was a different stage. Cameron Ling took over a team that was
flying.
Yeah. So now what I'm saying, just in terms of
But there's nobody else.
How many of that team? There's a lot large percentage of that team on the weekend are not there in 3 years.
Yeah.
A lot. But anyway, I think it was more disappointing on the weekend that they coughed up the lead at three-quarter time than the way that they played early on because they were able to wrest back control of the game. And anyway, in the end, they were diabolical in the last quarter.
Questions?
Yeah, love them.
All right. Call to Daddy. Have you ever seen a dumber game by any player in such an important position as Stanley? I watched on from level two on Monday, and to my disbelief, Reece thought it was smart to punch the ball forward once Greaves went down. Greaves? No, that'd be Reeves. Greavesy.
Greavesy went down.
Not only did we forget to set up for such a game plan, we forgot to tell Tom Mitchell to stop getting it. 25 possessions in the second half, mainly due to Reece's inability to palm the ball or put it into an attacking area for our
mids.
But
didn't they tagged Mitchell in the first half with O'Connor? And then they let that go.
Mm.
And then he went berserk in the second half. I don't know. Didn't understand it.
While I'm at it, the lack of intent to fly/compete against Sicily by Cameron in the first half was pathetic, to say the least.
He was well beaten, but he
still kicked three
and had a couple of chances. Yeah, Sicily's a very good player. You're up against a good player. You're going to have times when they're on top and... You know, that's just the way it goes. But I thought Cameron wasn't his best game, but he wasn't horrendous.
Mm. I'm normally a very positive supporter who always backs his team, but that was as poor of a game that I've seen from the GFC in a long, long time. Only one thing's for sure, we will win the next four and it will be forgotten. No guarantee winning the next four.
Who have they got? North?
Yep.
And then who?
Fremantle at home.
Well, they'll win that probably.
Then St Kilda at Marvel. No, sorry, GWS in Canberra.
Yeah, well, that's winnable.
St Kilda at Marvel.
Yeah, that's winnable too.
And then come home for back-to-back against Adelaide and Port Adelaide.
Oh, so they've got a pretty good run.
Oh, yeah. That's why losing last week has blown that opportunity lost.
Well, they'll probably win quite a few, particularly the ones at home. St Kilda would be tough. GWS, I watched their game against Melbourne. They had an absolute crack. For a team that is stacked with top-end talent, their skill level was horrific.
I won't forget what I witnessed, and that to me, there's absolutely no chance we can win this year's premiership. Looks like we're all on the same page. Call to Daddy. I'll be in Hobart for the game if COVID hits your commentary box and you need a special comments, man. Until then, I'm going for a walk to calm down. Daz Broncos in from somewhere in the US of A.
Yeah.
The talk of playing injured or less than 100% players. Kingy, you nailed Lloyd pre-game about Patrick Dangerfield and also about Colo and the difference between dropped, omitted, rested and managed.
Oh, yeah.
That's you danced circus. Around the issue, but clearly it's all smoke and mirrors.
That's the other thing too. Just got way too cute making Colo Jasny a sub. Yeah. Way too cute.
Does that mean, well, that tells me then Radaglan Higgins weren't right.
Oh, I don't care. Get somebody else in. When they needed a runner in the game, they got Colo Jasny. What? No.
Reece Stanley will make a great politician when he retires. He's no good at his job. Don't know how he got it, but he's been there for 7 years. Fair dinkum, he was rucking against the world's tallest midget and still couldn't give his first shoes. Oh. Luke Dalhouse gained his minus 24 metres. He and Myers had one tackle between them. What are they in the side for? Myers had more turnovers than the Pancake Palace. Clearly Dangerfield is injured. He has to be rested to get right. Once again, bring Cooper Stevens in. Club talks about a body of work, but he's played 2 practice matches and 4 VFL. Get him in.
Has he been dominating the VFL?
He's been a solid contributor.
Yeah.
Not a standout, but I think he might be one of those blokes, a bit like Myers. So you know how Myers in the VFL in his first year, just people, I honestly thought the Grime Myers was 2 and done. He's,
yeah,
you know, he'll play 2 years of VFL and they go, thanks very much. Got his opportunity at AFL level and thrived despite, and he even said, he was actually too quick for the VFL pace, if that makes sense, that we're a bloke, just thinks quicker, does things to a better level than the blokes he's playing
with.
And I think Cooper Stevens might be that way inclined, though. I reckon once AFL level will suit him.
Yeah. And I'd give Myers a bit of time. He's had, like I said, his injury interrupted. Yep. I think he's a younger player, yep, who has some, who does a few things that others can't. He did turn it over, but that's probably a little bit of rust, and his tank is something that sets him apart, so I wouldn't be just chucking him out just yet.
Yep. Foxdog 50, Kingy Ben, I want you to answer both answer this question. Are you guys concerned about the age of our current list? We've been banging on this for a while, Foxdog 50.
I'm concerned that the same players keep playing.
And there's going to be a drop-off eventually. There's going to be a massive disappearance of quality.
Oh, wow. It's going to go into what they call a chasm.
Very big one.
Yeah.
Very big one.
A chasm. I've maintained that, yeah, the list, I don't know. It just frustrates me. I'll be interested to see what happens this week with selection.
Cats of the future. Gentlemen, Myers, have we dropped him in off too little preparation the way we did last year with Dalhouse Menegola, or this year with Henry? Have others just gone past him? Give him time. He needs a couple more. Judge Grime Myers in a fortnight.
Yeah.
Not now.
Yeah.
Remember, only 2.5 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago against Brisbane, he was pretty good.
Yeah, he was. And young player, yeah. I think he's one that you persevere with. He's got his best footy is still ahead of him.
Yep.
You can't say that about 80% of the team.
Yep. Dalhouse, career over?
I don't know. Yeah, I look, and that's harsh. I think that's the reality, though. I think if at his age, if he goes out of the team, which you probably would expect after last week, I just don't see. Maybe the point's not the right word. I don't see the.
There's no benefit in Luke Dalhouse playing.
Coming back and playing, no. You know what you've got. You've seen it firsthand for the last how many years?
4. Well, this is his 4th.
Yeah, you've seen it. You're not getting him back in suddenly. He's not going back to the 2s to work on something.
Yeah.
If someone says that, I'll fair game, I'll leap out of the box, and I'm not sure what I'll do.
Don't, it's a long fall.
But don't give us that. He's going. He's unfortunately, everyone's time is up in footy at times, and I don't think he's part of the mix.
He's got everything out of himself.
Yeah, he has.
200 odd games, premiership player, played in the grand final with the Cats. Yeah, from being a rookie.
Yeah, had a really good career, and I think, I'd be staggered if I don't see him getting back in. I don't see the point of bringing him back into the team if you put him out.
Yeah. How are our key defenders in the 2s going? I checked for names on
we
the
don't
sheet
have any.
And didn't see any. Surely that can't be right. Yeah, the closest thing to a key defender in the 2s is...
How did Nathan Kruger end up leaving?
No, I don't know. But he's been playing forward at Collingwood.
I know, he looked pretty good. He was good against Brisbane. Right. I know he missed a couple, but I'm thinking to myself... They tried him.
He wanted to go. He told the club, let me go.
That's the club thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
The club have got no key defenders. Geelong?
No, but he wasn't. He's not a defender.
He was playing in defence.
But he wanted to play forward, and Geelong weren't going to play him forward.
Yeah, well, this is where you... Yeah, well, let's... I just watched it and thought, geez, it'd be nice to have...
And Collingwood obviously said to him, you will play in our forward line. And he's gone, thanks very much, see you later.
Surely it's got to be a bit more to it than that. Well, but a player that says he... I've got to play here, I'm not coming, or I'm not staying. I mean, there's got to be an opportunity for him to be in defence at Geelong.
Well, he didn't want to be in defence at Geelong.
Yeah, wow. They've got no defenders, Geelong.
No.
If De Conning gets injured and Blitzarves gets injured...
there's real trouble.
Forget about it.
Yep.
Here's Johnny.
The Ranger. Unfortunately, I had doubts about our performance before Monday's games. Conditions were right for us to have a stinker, a long break before the game, not quite a bye, but close, and an opponent we should easily put to the sword. It's the perfect storm for Geelong, unfortunately. Blind Freddie can predict, but our coaches can't. This week against the Kangas will be interesting. We normally bounce back after these poor performances, but another supposed easy opponent may see a few not show up again. Yeah, I don't think Geelong's going down there. And well, Geelong battled with North in the corresponding game down there last year. Well, that was not much of a game of football. That was a game where Zach Guthrie actually
played well.
Yeah, really well.
Mm. Yeah, no, look, they'll... Geez, I'd hope they get past North. If they don't get past North, there'll be some finger-pointing going.
Well, 3-3 is not ideal.
There'll be some gnashing of teeth.
Yes. Hoopla. I'm obviously a little disappointed about the loss, like most Cat fans, but I prefer they persist with this new, faster game plan than revert to the slow, precise football from the last few years. It's similar to watching the Cats from yesteryear. Their biggest challenge seems to be tightening up the defence, but I believe they'll resolve this after a few more games. What are your thoughts on the game style and where they need to improve to compete with the best teams in September? They need to continue to take the game on, but I reckon they at when the game tightened up, I reckon the Cats tightened up.
Don't know. I'm not sure about all that. I reckon that's sometimes that's just game plans and all. I reckon that's just the greatest furphy in footy, to be honest with you. I reckon that's just that is the greatest load of baloney I've ever heard. If you make the right decision more often than the opponent, yep, in the situation that you're in, wherever it is on the ground, and you execute the skill on the back of that decision more often than your opponent, whether that's kick it forward, backwards, sideways, over your head, into the crowd, into the hot dog stand, you will beat the opponent.
Not the hot dog stand.
No, maybe not in the hot dog stand, but maybe in the jam donut stand. If you got in there, like, covered in that sort of, you know, that diet sugar that those donuts are in, it's absolutely magnificent. You will beat an opponent. So you can't, like, this whole concept, sure, you can have maybe a defensive concept where you need to be, if particularly if you've got a slow play. You know, you can work to have that zone that they have so it's harder to penetrate. I get that. That's probably a defensive mechanism. Going forward, it's up to decision makers, and you can have a structure around the ball at a stoppage.
Yep.
Yep, you can have your, you know, this guy here, whatever it is, I'll get that. But when the ball is in general play and in flow, offensively, you have to have players who make the right decision at that right time. And there is no 100% correct decision. In terms of, you know, you might have a player in front of you, beside you, whatever it is. You might have 5 players, 10 players behind you, 5 in front. You've got to make the right decision. So I find it just bizarre that people bang on about a game plan. Well, it's not a game plan.
It's a style.
It's, well, no, but it's not even a style. It's an individual style. But the individual, me kicking it to you, me making the right decision, kicking it to you, then you making the right decision, kicking it to the next bloke or handballing it to the next bloke, whatever it is.
Hmm. But you've got to set up to
be... It's based on what the opposition are giving you as well.
True.
So the players have to process all that. It's not about, oh, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do this. It doesn't work. I think that the game plan is the most overrated load of horse shit I've ever heard in footy.
Off the Twitter, at KROC Football and at Cat Attack Podcast, because Benny either couldn't get the T on the end or he liked the sound of...
No, they wouldn't let me.
Or the end of, or you just like... Cast. Yeah, well,
somebody actually said that to me. But you can't get as many...
Not characters.
Yeah.
Not characters. Matt Dorr, surely this is a week to rest Danger if he's not 100%. If not now, when to unleash Stevens and maybe even Dempsey or Evans?
Don't rush that Dempsey.
No, he's a pull-through for a 303.
Yeah, he's a singlet with arms.
Yeah, there's not a lot of him.
No.
Also, can someone please tell Jezza that kicking into the man on the mark is real Oz kick level stuff? No offence to Oz kickers. That wasn't odd. He did it a couple of times last week. And a couple of shots he pushed.
Because he got too close. Well, I think he thought he was on his limit. That's why. He wasn't comfortable...
If you are on your limit, distance. Do you know what? Pop it to the top of the square.
Yeah, but I'm happy for him to have a crack. He 50's his limit.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny, he can be a thumping kick, but I think on the run, he's a longer kick. Ball, set shot, he's not.
Ball heavier on Monday, all that sort of stuff.
Do you reckon your balls get heavier? I don't think... Do they? No, not late in the day. But they change the ball so regularly, Kingy, that they don't get it. It's not like the old days when you were like with a big sort of piece of concrete.
The one ball for the whole game
and it was 700 kilos by the end of it. They're changing their pills all the time.
Adrian Mancini. Hey, Kingy and Cass. Hello, Adrian. Fantastic interview with the skipper post-game on Monday. I felt it. Well, it wasn't a fantastic interview. The skipper was just honest.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything to do with us.
He was very disappointed.
The fact that he used Milhouse twice.
Do you reckon he was disappointed? Disappointed in the result, A. Disappointed in some of his teammates?
Probably. Oh, absolutely, no doubt. Yeah. He was disappointed in his teammates. Because he did everything he could.
He was Geelong's best player, which I think is a concern.
No
knock on him, because he's been great, but he needs others to be the best player, and he goes along for the ride. That's where he should be at the stage of his career. I noticed last week, Josh Kennedy. And I'm not comparing him to Joel Selwood, but Josh Kennedy.
Which one?
For Sydney. He didn't get a game. Sydney, do you know what? Sydney have recruited so. Their skill level is out of this world. Yeah. The guys they have drafted, their skill, they are going to be a real force, and not this year because they're still
a couple of years.
There. Yep. Their skill level of Golden, Campbell, McInerney, on top of Heaney, Lloyd.
Haywood.
Their skill, and they've drafted kids who can kick the footy really well.
Papley still hasn't played this year.
Yeah, they've got some really, really good players.
I felt he actually said what most of us felt after that. What can be done to address the midfield? It is the biggest issue. Inconsistent around the ball.
Yeah, well, 100%. Yeah. And that's not going to change.
No. Paul Marinelli, we are mad if we don't extend Chris Scott's contract by rolling 5 by 5 by 5 like a commercial contract and we pay all the outgoings to boot, coaching like a Rolls Royce. I can see your tongue firmly planted in your cheek, Paul Marinelli.
Anyway, we've said enough on that.
Yep. The Hoops, who are the top 5 sleeve wearers in the history of the Geelong Football Club? Close and Ooh. Jimmy are 2 first ballot Hall of Famers for sure.
Terry Bright.
Hinkley, perhaps. Terry Bright was a regular wearer of the long sleeve. Bernie Smith, who won a Brownlow medal, long sleeve. Polly Farmer didn't mind as a ruck, a long sleeve.
Long sleever.
Bobby
we
Davis.
We haven't had that many, have we?
Bobby Davis was a long sleeve.
Chappie used to roll out a long sleeve every now and then.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
But do you know what? Players of that era weren't really wearing the long sleeve because our old mate Bluey McGrath used to tell the greats.
Tell them not to.
Well, because there was that great story about when he was captaining the VFL at Ballarat and they'd all asked for long sleeves. And the great Vic Fuller, who's no longer with us, was the property steward.
Old Dick Fuller.
Bluey rolled back in, saw all the long sleeves out and said to Vic, put them away, get the short sleeves out. These blokes are playing in short sleeves today in 3 degrees in Ballarat. And most of them after that.
Well, the olden days, too, they used to be woolen jumpers.
Yeah.
So they used to get as heavy as hell.
Yeah.
Now they wear that sort of the old acrylic. Is that an animal?
Yeah.
An acrylic?
No, I don't know. Chook, Ryan Myers, why? Well, we've spoken about Ryan, and we think give him a couple more weeks. But thank you, Chook, for your...
Yeah, I don't keep him going.
Your feedback. John, the sub, you called it early. We needed run at 3-quarter time. Why did we pick Collar as a sub? You saw it. Why not Chris Scott?
Yeah, I've just said that. I reckon that was just taking the piss, and they got their pants pulled down by making a bloke who can all he can do is play in defence and carry.
Although he did fill the role of a bloke who'd come off.
They were lucky, but they didn't need that. They could have had O'Connor go back there. They needed somebody to come in the midfield to give him a bit of squirt.
Yeah.
A bit like...
Narkle did.
Like Narkle or...
What, Dalhouse.
Against Collingwood, dare we say against Dalhouse. We're trying to get him out of the team. And so they needed someone. You don't have a flaming dour defender as your sub. That was does anybody question Chris Scott on that during the week?
Well, he hasn't had his media conference.
Well, I'd be saying to him, do you regret making Jake Collar-Jasny?
See you at Chris Scott's media conference.
No, I haven't got time to do that. If he wants to come down to the trials, I can do it down there. But seriously question, with advantage of hindsight, would you have made a dour defender your sub?
No.
Well, it would be interesting to see what he says.
Max Blake, at 31, is Reece Stanley the longest and oldest serving developing ruckman in the comp? And when do you expect him to peak? Yeah. Somebody's answered it when he kicked the opening goal in the 2020 semi-final.
God.
Yeah. Look, Reece is a really good bloke, and unfortunately... But you know what? He's eked out a 160-odd game career, which is 160 games more than most of us.
And he's still got another year to run.
He does. He signed a 2-year deal.
Oh, I find that staggering.
John.
Absolutely staggering.
John at halfback flank, 24. How can we bring in Tom DeConing to join Sam? It would be great to watch SDK dominate down back and TDK in the ruck. I don't think Carlton will be letting Tom DeConing go anywhere in a hurry.
Well, you have a crack. Who's got more pull leg? Is Sam or Tom?
I don't know.
Carlton are on the up.
Yeah.
It's worth asking the question.
Oh, you're always asking the question.
Yeah, and pay overs to get him. They'll have the Kanga.
Come on, Mac.
Yeah.
Edmund 59, has Chris Scott extended his contract or can we tear it up? It's extended, it's done.
Until 2024.
End of 24, yeah. Dave Twist, that's Benny Kingy. In the history of the AFL, has there been a more polarising coach than the current Geelong one? It's like pineapple on pizza. Half the crowd can't believe you don't love it. The other half can't believe you could be so stupid.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
That's actually one of the best analogies I've seen.
Yeah, 100% I agree with that. And I just find it... Do you know what's funny? And you'll be able to answer this one, King. I'm asking you this question. Why do you think, despite the record of the Cats over a long period of time, why do you think there is a certainly... The club tried to downplay it, Brian Cook tried to downplay it, but why do you think that there is a reasonably large section of Geelong supporters, I don't know, anywhere from maybe 40 to 60%, that seem to loathe the coach?
Yep. So you've got to be careful with those numbers in terms of, okay, that's a figure you're pulling out, 40 to 60%. I'm going to go to Mark Neild mode here. The most vocal people are people who oppose something, aren't they, usually?
Yeah.
When people are happy with something, you don't see them jumping on social media and saying, this is going fantastic.
No.
So you've got to be careful with that. So 40 to 60%, it's probably 40 to 60% of those willing to jump on social media to say something, not 40 to 60% of the overall population, Geelong membership, Geelong supporter group belief. So let's pare that back maybe to a third. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on why. It's because, you know, Geelong fans got accustomed to that success. They won 3 flags in 5 years. People say that Scott was gifted 2011. The players had their backs up because Ablett and Thompson had left. They drove that. Chris Scott man-managed it, which...
The irony is, that's the irony, isn't it? That he man-managed that.
Yep.
And the criticism, one of the criticisms is he's an horrendous man-manager.
Yep.
I'd find that bizarre. Anyway, the thing I say that, though, is you say it's only a minority that are louder than the majority. In my...
No, the minority are louder.
Yeah, they are, yeah. But in my circle, honestly, I don't know... I can't think of anybody offhand in recent memory who I really like. And I'm not... This is just...
This is not personal.
This is just that they just don't particularly like what's happened.
Yeah.
So this... All of them. None of them have said, oh... Chris Scott's great.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I reckon the percentage is pretty high. But it's funny that he's been so successful. It's easy when the coach struggles.
Yeah. Can we talk about Cam Guthrie? He's Ben Carter. Going like a busted at the moment. Injury on the weekend noted. He's going to start running defensively in half his cheap possessions and make them more damaging. Think he's a victim of no man a goal of saving his backside running back the other way.
Yeah, no, I said...
Well, we've spoken about this, the cheapie out the back.
Yeah, he's been doing that for a while. Yep. It seems to be more quantity rather than quality. And he's one that I'd like to see get the ball more forward and run forward and be more damaging. Getting it 18 to 20 times and be damaging, not 35 times. And half of them are kicked 6 metres each way and he kicks it to his brother, he kicks it back and then he kicks it to someone else and they go nowhere. But he has the capacity to be a dangerous player. But he's got into a bad habit of just finding what you would classify as a cheap kick. And I don't necessarily think that that is always great for the team. And Cameron Ling went through the same thing. But it's hard to knock out when you've got, you know, when you're into that habit, you've got to change his game. But I'd love to see him, because he's a very good kick. You'd like him being your sort of... a Mitch Duncan type player, getting it in space and running 15 and then delivering it, because that's what he's good at.
Yep.
But he doesn't do that a whole lot.
Right. I think that's enough for us, Benny.
He's at it, King.
Yeah,
I think it might
be time for us to pull the pin. See you on Sunday.
I like pulling the pin, yeah. What are we launching onto for lunch on Sunday?
A bit of Garmy chicken and beer. Well, we're not having the beer, but we're having the Garmy chicken.
A little bit of Garmy chicken.
I'm looking forward to that.
I can't wait.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisen dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. Kerr'sHire.com.au.